Grade 6 Conference, Lecture 2, The Fourfold Human Being, Part 2. We've looked at the physical body, the etheric body, and I've mentioned now this important turning point, which occurs generally in the middle of Grade 5. The etheric body fully takes on the form of the physical body, is united with it like a tailored suit. In grade 5, I mentioned, yes, there's a little bit, 1 to 5%, let's say, that is not fully incorporated, that remains like a stream coming from the back of the head, much like the shape of the pharaoh's crown, and that stays connected with the worldwide etheric being. So we're never quite fully there, but close enough. And this also is why in grade 5 we take such pains to work on the one hand with botany, where we look at the plant, this physical etheric being, so that the children take one last look at a part of nature that is so much the way they were not so long before. And also we look at the cosmic memory of human history, the collective memory, the collective legacy that we have of all that's been accomplished over time. So once again, the young people are able to take one last look at the foundation of their own humanness. And I mentioned in grade 5 that we are really, in a way, helping them live through, not with a very high degree of consciousness by any means, but however dimly, we are helping them live through the memory of past lives on the earth. So that's the etheric body. Its last hurrah is in grade 5. And now it leaves a kind of vacuum, a space where it was and no longer is. And the astral body, which has been conducting scouting expeditions since ages 9 to 10 and trying to see if the sentries were still awake in the castle. Is there any way in? And as you remember, of course, from grade 5, Odysseus did very much the same thing around the walls of Troy and realized, well, actually, you know, those etheric forces, they're incredibly protective. You can't get through them directly, but in the form of an animal, in the form of a hollow animal, we might be able to do it. The animal is, of course, the astral body, and the astral body now has an opening. It's allowed in. Now, I should mention that this coming of the astral body in full force, which will show itself so strongly over the years from about 12 to 21 or later, really throughout our whole lifetime, this coming of the astral body is permitted, it is allowed now, but it's also coming too soon. What do I mean by this? Steiner tells us that the spiritual world had to come to a kind of entente cordiale between the etheric and astral bodies. The astral body was really meant to incorporate itself fully in the human being at age 35, when we'd have had a whole lifetime, half a lifetime anyway, of experiences of coming to really be comfortable in our physical etheric bodies. So it actually is allowed to come 21, 22, 23 years too soon. So the astral body is always coming in an overwhelming way. It's always coming by surprise. It's always premature. And this is why we could say that a healthy reaction is adolescence. It's all the ups and downs and the roller coaster ride, a healthy reaction. is all of the changes that we see in puberty and the child's desperate and sometimes despairing attempts to come to some peace with these changes. This is because we are never ready for the astral body. It surprises us, at least for the first half of our life. After 35, maybe, we start to learn how to deal with it. Not everyone does. So this is how powerful the astral body is. But now it's going to come with full force by the middle of sixth grade. I always like to say that the beginning of a year is not really that year yet. It's only when you come to February, March, that you are really seeing the true fifth grader, the true sixth grader. And then, as you know, by the time you've had your spring vacation, whether that's at Easter time or a few weeks later, by the time they come back from that, they're already in the next grade. So we really have a small, precious window open into the nature of the child of a given age. And the middle of sixth grade is definitely when you will see it for many of the children. Some are sooner, some are later. I'm going to speak about sort of on a soul level what that means, but I just want us to be aware that this is the astral body. What is the astral body like? Again, from your foundational year, you probably remember, it is catabolic. That is, it destroys matter, it destroys substance. So we could think that every day we eat, and by the time particularly that foodstuff gets into our metabolic system, there are astral forces, literally living bacteria, living entities who are moving, who have themselves an astral nature, however primitive it may be. They are breaking our food down under the leadership of our astral body. If that didn't happen, we would never be ourselves. We'd only be the food that we ate. Literally, we would be what we eat, as the expression goes. But the astral body breaks it down until it is nothing. It is de novum. It's completely new. And then at night, the etheric body sets about recreating that substance into ourselves. So there's a wonderful working together of astral and etheric. However, it is not always in balance, and we might say that this is one of the great issues come sixth, seventh grade, that the child's digestive system starts to change because the astral body gets the upper hand. There's more breaking down going on at times than there is building up. This accounts for the ceaseless hunger of so many children at this age. This accounts for the unrhythmical way in which they're often eating and the difficulty that parents are having in persuading them to sit down at the table and eat with everybody. This is the astral body. It's wreaking havoc with the way in which the child eats. I also said that the etheric body loves the human being to be asleep. The astral body is only able to be active within us when we are awake. The astral body desperately fights sleep, because then it's separated from us. Then it goes back into the spiritual world where it has to behave. Doesn't have such fun in the spiritual world. It likes to be in us. So this is where we start. We don't already have them, of course. It's a big issue. This is where we have sleep problems with young people, and where their sleep rhythm changes dramatically and drastically to the point where some Waldorf schools in Europe, after doing extensive research, have decided to start main lesson at 11 in the morning to have the children doing handwork or eurythmy first thing in the morning. This is probably going to be a trend for some time to come. You know, understanding that these kids are probably not falling asleep until midnight, 1 a.m. or even later, or maybe not at all, giving them a chance then to awaken slowly and not to make intellectual academic demands on them until later in the morning. So this is something to keep in mind, that probably you're going to see more kids coming in with dark rings under their eyes or coming in a slightly irritated way, you know, all of these signs of sleep deprivation. So the mandate we have to teach young people to sleep is going to be no less important now than it was when they were younger. I also mentioned the powerful force of memory that manifests within the etheric body as its physical upbuilding forces of organizing the human body and carrying cosmic memory into the very form of our organs. As the etheric body is done with this work, it allows us to develop our individual personal memory. The astral body fights against memory. The astral body fights against habit. The etheric tries to build it up. The astral tries to make us forget or not develop habits. Rather, we could say, the astral body would like to replace habit with, you've guessed it, addiction. So this is a time where habits that the kindergarten teachers and perhaps you as a class teacher in the first two or three grades consciously inculcated in the child until finally they sank below the threshold of consciousness and became routine, almost automatic. The astral body wants to work from the opposite side, unconsciously inculcating habits until finally they rise to consciousness as, I've got to get more of that stuff, you know, where can I buy more? Or, oh my God, a new video game's coming out, I've got to play it. Where things start to get beyond our control, where habits don't support our life of memory, but rather our memory, in fact, all of us becomes enslaved to these habits. So this is a critical time. In addictiveness, we are seeing in a very raw way the work of the astral body. You know, it's a good thing that the astral body wants us to have new experiences and wants to bring variety in our lives and wants us in a certain way to push the envelope, work out of the box, all that stuff. But then it's going to replace habits that are necessary for our health and well-being with other things which are not always so. This is also the time of food addictions or the opposite. And this is, again, because the astral body is working against our health and well-being in its powerful breakdown forces. Steiner has gone so far as to say that the basis of all illness is essentially the astral body overstepping its boundaries. It's not surprising in a completely different context, Rudolf Steiner said that adolescence is a protracted 7-year-long illness. That's how strongly and how in an imbalanced way the astral body is working on us at this time. So I'll continue saying more about the work of the astral body in part 3.